Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite.
Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining me for the discourse on this episode is Matt.
Hey!
Aaron.
Hey!
And Jason.
Hey, yeah. Hey,
Jason, what's cooler than being cool?
Frieza. Lord Frieza.
Well, all right. We're off to a roaring start.
Indeed.
All right, now Hunk goes. You on your fattest face.
Tyler, what is it we do here on this boat in a roiling storm?
Typically, we watch three episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z, and then we talk about them. What we liked, what we disliked, what could be better, what is impossible to be better.
Right.
Like Vegeta's face when it's full of food and he does a little smile.
Can't be better.
It cannot get better than that.
I think it is the pinnacle, the zenith.
Mm-hmm. This week we're going to be covering episodes 214, 215, and 216. But Jason,
yeah,
you had something that you wanted to bring to our attention.
Well, okay. This was brought to my attention on Twitter, mm-hmm. and I'm very fascinated by it.
Conceptually,
yes. There's a website called BeAGameCharacter.com, which
I'm already interested.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. What it basically looks, from my very cursory glance, it looks like it's sort of like character-based, like, fitness plans, and some of the premium stuff is behind, like, a paywall or something.
Oh.
It even says at the top of every page, get the exclusive Vegeta and Android 18 workouts when you sign up for the mailing list.
Well.
And that, I mean, if
does she
Vegeta
even need to work out?
I was gonna say.
She's an android.
She's a tireless android.
She's got infinite energy. So I was looking for other Dragon Ball characters.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are put into three groups: rogues, fighters, and tanks.
Okay. DPS.
Fighters and tanks are,
what,
yeah,
about the mages?
Nope. Fuck them.
Among us. No, what about controllers?
Ain't no clerics here.
No healers?
Yeah, there's no Dende workout, I'm afraid. I do have to look at this real quick as an aside. I'm so sorry, everybody. There is a workout for Guybrush Threepwood from Secret of Monkey Island, and
yeah.
I do have to look into that.
Does it
involve Grog?
There is the...
Do you get to carry a head?
So, it's interesting because I originally thought... So, okay, I'm gonna... The example I picked beforehand was how to be like Krillin. Because we've already, if you listen to our older ones, there is already a Goku workout somewhere.
I mean, the show is called Destructo Discourse.
That's right. But I want to learn how to be like Krillin.
Because he's a human like us.
Yeah, that's something we can achieve,
it's
right?
Achievable.
Sure, in theory.
Yeah. Beams, totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
So originally I thought it was just a matter of like, okay, so it's like a bunch of, you know, fitness stuff for that might be themed around like Krillin or maybe Shaolin monks or something. It goes deeper. It breaks down the character, what he is. He's listed under fighter. His class is listed as monk, which, I mean, that's accurate, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skills, attributes. One of the most powerful human beings in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Flight, Ki Blast, Destructo Disc, spelled wrong because it's spelled, this is spelled with a K on this website, but whatever. Destructive disk drive. Kamehameha wave. Trained into the Turtle Hermit. Brave. Loyal friend.
So that's mostly true.
Yeah.
It breaks down how to become Krillin in three ways. Number one is the Krillin workout. So it's training your strength stat.
Does it involve milk?
And here's the thing. It talks about this thing called rucking, which is this, like, it's running around with a weighted backpack or something.
So, yeah.
It's not like running, but like walking with a weighted backpack, basically.
Yeah.
Because of the turtle thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what a lot of it is. A lot of it is also pull-up bars, rings, push-ups, pull-ups, squats, planks, push-up, harder. The level 3 advanced has 10 fingertip push-ups, which, no. not feeling that one, bud. Tuck jumps, don't know what those are. Hanging upside down sit-ups. Why is it with monks always love the hanging upside down sit-ups? Passing grains of rice from one bowl to another. Mm. Punching bags of sand.
Standing under a waterfall?
Yeah, not that yet.
That's Tien. Okay.
That's the Tien workout.
Yeah,
probably
you're right.
Probably behind the paywall.
Stand under a paywall?
Chiaotzu's for sure behind the paywall. That guy knows some stuff.
Learn
so, you can't get psychic powers for free.
No.
The second article in How to Be Krillin is the skills of a monk. Mm-hmm. And this page talks about breaking down his fighting technique. It's just like paragraphs talking about Kung Fu, Chinese boxing, Wushu, Shaolin culture, projectile combat. He's talking about, like, beams or something, but it's like, well, we don't know really how to do that, but here's some other things we can do. Flying locust stones.
Throw rocks like he does in DBFC.
Yes, it literally says flying locust stones was basically a fancy name for grab a rock and throw it at him. So,
great.
Which is pretty on par with Krillin, and this, by the way, article was written at least a good year before DBFC came out.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of, and then it links to a bunch of, like, how to throw a ninja star, how to throw a dart, how to throw things good, the focus of a monk, meditate every day, practice the skill every day, eliminate unnecessary choices.
Is there anything in this workout about complaining that you don't have a girlfriend at least 3 times a day?
It does say practice a skill every day.
Well,
so
that's his.
That's dedication. So, but finally, I need to bring you to the last, this is the trifecta, the last article that you need to complete becoming Krillin, and that is the bravery of Krillin.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This is what fascinates me about this, these articles and about this website, because it's not just like, do a bunch of push-ups like Goku. Like, it's literally like, how to become this character. Mind, body, and soul. Like, what do you need to train spiritually to be Guybrush Threepwood?
You have to slap your butt in the face of Space Hitler.
absolute untouchable bravery is what it says for Krillin.
With an asterisk on it, because...
Well, here's the thing.
Asterisks, mileage may vary.
No, I'm going to say this. It brings up a good point. What is bravery?
Uh-huh.
Bravery is knowing that you might be outmatched, being afraid of something, but showing up anyway.
He does show up.
He does show
Krillin
up.
Krillin does do.
Mm-hmm.
He rolls out of bed every day.
He does show up shortly before he runs away. This is correct.
Mm-hmm.
There is wisdom in knowing when to run away.
So at the very end, because I decided to just skip all of these paragraphs because I don't like reading. They say, if in your darkest hour you find yourself fearful and unable to act, remember that a 4-foot-tall monk stood up to a perfect android, got kicked so hard he broke his damn neck, and still showed up to the final confrontation with the monster later on so that his friends wouldn't stand alone. And if Krillin can do it, so can you.
Hell yeah.
This is tangentially related, since we're diving into the psyche of Krillin right now. Do you guys think that when Goku told him not to sword stab that guy, that was when he realized that his contributions were no longer valued to the team. Like, that's when he decided, okay, I'm on the sideline now. Officially.
Yeah.
Ah, darn. Boy. I'm gonna show up to do maybe a couple things.
And him, like, hatching the Namek scheme was his desperate attempt to stay, like, one of the main characters.
It was his last ditch
effort.
Yo,
guys, we can go to space, and I can take charge for once.
Then he gets there and realizes what a terrible mistake he's made.
His star taken for a ride, we'll say.
His star shone bright on Namek for a little while.
Yeah, it popped.
I'm just remembering when he landed.
Yeah, and yes, and then that star exploded.
It went supernova.
Would you guys like to discuss episodes of hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah.
Might
as well.
As mentioned before, this week we're doing episodes 214, 215, and 216. The English title of 214 is Who Will Fight Who?
The Japanese title of 214 roughly translates to Event Matchups Decided. Let's hurry and hold the first round.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, come on.
Let's get it on.
Piccolo doesn't trust those two that they just
met. No, he doesn't.
The narrator wonders if those two will just be two more contestants who will be sent to the floor.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
They look unimportant.
That's why they got the scary music when they showed up. It's to highlight their transience.
Gohan really throws his buddy Piccolo under the bus.
Sure does.
God,
he is trying his best to impress this lady.
I mean, like, that's not impressive. That's not a good look. You gotta stand up for your buddies. At least just be like, boy, I don't know. Those two strangers are giving us weird vibes. Weird.
Yeah. Don't dunk on your anime green dad.
He's a little bit paranoid.
This guy who I've known all my life and who is usually correct, he's paranoid.
He's crazy.
Videl is right. He does seem a little high strung.
Yeah.
Videl can read people well. She's had to grow up with Mr. Satan.
Detective. She knows how to tell when someone's high strung.
Trunks and Goten are sneaking around.
Sneaking is a strong word for what Goten is doing.
Just sipping juice.
He went to that great juice stand that Sharpner was talking about.
He's walking, like, slowly and carefully, like, I don't know if he's ever sneaked before.
Probably not.
Like, oh boy, I better walk really careful. He's exactly
he's
as
never
good
had a reason
at
to.
Looking casual as Gohan.
They spot a guy in a mask and a cape, just kind of standing around.
I don't know what Trunks' fashion sense is like, because he says, that's a nice mask and cape, huh?
Listen, Trunks, if you're going to fucking come at Gohan for his costume, and then turn around and say that this guy looks rad, we're going to have words.
Trunks.
This guy looks like someone I want to see at my next potluck.
Personally, I don't think Trunks believes the word he's saying. Like, he's just trying to get Goten on board.
That might be true.
It's nice to serve the purpose of obscuring your identity.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It is nice and functional.
Which, can we take a quick fashion moment to break down this costume? Because it's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It's just... there's a toga robe element.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a luchador mask, but then it's pointy at the top.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Not a great look.
No.
Not a good look. Nope.
Anyone.
Thankfully not white.
Thankfully,
yeah.
Goodness.
Boy.
Boy, howdy.
Clearly the dragon world doesn't have any sort of clan.
Right.
Boy. Less hope.
Anime has that happen for designs sometimes. I don't know why. Like those bad guys from Earthbound or something.
Uh huh.
I don't know.
It's cool fashion, Jason.
It is. It is not cool, nor is it fashionable.
It's got no historical relevance to it whatsoever.
I am glad that it's blue, because it makes me think more of a pterodactyl. I didn't even make the connection that we're talking about. I thought it was like, look at me, I'm a pterodactyl.
I wish it were look at me, for. I'm a pterodactyl. I want to make like screeching noises whenever we see him.
So Trunks comes up with a plan on the spot.
Oh, he's extremely the child of Bulma here, but he's got Vegeta's planning face.
They are gonna knock this guy out. They're gonna steal his costume, and then they're gonna compete in the adult tournament.
And they're gonna fucking Muppet Man him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly Trunks' favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz.
So Trunks has two different plans, or two different ways of distracting this guy, depending on the language you're listening to.
Oh, I didn't hop over to the Japanese.
Me neither.
In English, Trunks convinces this guy that there is some shrimpy-looking dude who wants to arm wrestle him, and there's money on the line.
Easy money.
And this guy wants that easy money.
Tyler, can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
I'm gonna predict that the Japanese involves... saying something to the effect of, like, there's a hot girl over there who wants your number.
It is exactly that, Jason.
Yeah! All right.
Trunks tells him that there is a shy woman waiting in the bushes for him.
The bushes? Gosh, I love both of these plans and what they say about Trunks' home life. With the Japanese, it's like, oh, for sure, Bulma has told him stories of her adventures in Dragon Ball, I guess, apparently. Because this is very much a strategy Bulma used herself with herself as the bait.
Almost certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with the other one, being a child of Vegeta, this is a good con. Because it's not just, hey, there's a cool thing over there in the bushes for you to check out.
You gotta challenge his pride.
It's a challenge. Right. Mm-hmm. This is good. This is not a plan future Trunks would come up with.
No. Trunks easily knocks this man out with a chop when he is out of sight from everybody else.
This poor guy.
Yeah.
He was looking forward to those 1,000 zenny. He was gonna get that cape he's been eyeing all week. Which, yeah. Are
at
there
the cape
vendors
store.
Here? Is there like a martial artist alley? You can buy cool capes at the fight con.
It's Diagon Alley, but for muscle wizards.
The two boys steal this man's costume, leave him in his underwear. Yeah.
Though Goten is a conscientious objector.
Yes.
To this.
Yes, he is. He voices his concern with the plan.
Mm-hmm. Trunks being clearly a bad influence on him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, help me steal the clothes of this unarmed, unconscious Danny DeVito looking.
That's guy. Who that was. I was trying to, like, he looks like a that's the guy, the actor. That's who I was thinking.
Yeah,
straight up is just Danny DeVito anime.
So they are doing
Danime DeVito.
Oh god. Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I was gonna say Danny DeBeefto.
Oh.
Just buff.
He's
anime de beef dough.
Yeah, just put them together.
Danny, that beef dough.
They do the classic little kid maneuver of one sitting on the shoulders of the other.
It's so good.
Their pose. Oh gosh.
Trunks is on top of Goten's shoulders, and they put this costume on.
As Goten is his right, because wonders, he is the older.
Uh-huh. Like, you don't think they'll know it's us? Trunks knows. His mom isn't nearby, and everybody else is an idiot, so no.
Plus, if Goten were on the shoulders of Trunks, all, like, the hair spikes would just come sticking out.
That's true.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Give them away in an instant.
It's better to make this man look like he has weird spiky gut.
Very, very short, tiny arms and legs. In massively oversized gloves.
It's very good.
With an extremely long torso.
You see, yep.
It's a swimmer.
That twists unnaturally.
is this a One Piece character?
Goten can't see where he's going, so he pokes out some not at all conspicuous eye holes just in the middle of this man's belly.
great.
This is a perfect plan and nothing can go wrong.
And no one knows.
Sir, why exactly do you have a second set of eyes over your stomach?
Intimidation.
So I can watch what I eat.
People notice, but just like
so I can watch
feel
what I eat.
Bad and don't look. Oh, jeez. I forget if it's now or later that Goku like sees them.
Yeah, it's later.
Oh, that's later. Okay.
Yeah.
The drawing begins for the tournament, and we are introduced to the other finalists, or the other contestants that made it past the punching bag.
Yeah.
There's a cluster of average-looking Street Fighter knockoff guys.
Mm-hmm.
Half of which are very racially offensive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very.
It's made worse in the dub, if you can believe
yes!
it.
Yeah.
Yep,
it's bad. We'll get to it.
The Z Warriors are there. There are the two weirdos that we've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
There's two very vascular muscle guys.
Very unpleasant to look at.
They have very
gray and veiny.
Yeah.
Got a lot of veins.
They have M's tattooed to their head.
I'm sure that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. I kept pointing out that their gums had were a light purplish.
Yeah.
Color
yes,
instead
they
of pink.
Are.
Everything
they
about have. Them is unpleasant.
It was so gross.
They send chills down Goku's spine.
And also Trunks and Goten are there in their disguise.
Mm-hmm. As Muppet Man.
You mean Mighty Mask?
Well, we don't know that yet. We learn that in a bit.
Okay.
Soon.
Gohan's first match is going to be up against Kibito, who is the tall weirdo that we've seen before.
The tall weirdo.
I call him Big Pink.
Trunks and Goten realize that they don't know the name of the man who they stole the costume from. So they have no idea when they're supposed to go up for the drawing.
Goten and Ghost, you didn't ask him?
Do you think they left him his wallet, or is it still in the clothes?
He was wearing nothing but his underwear.
Maybe he keeps it in the underwear.
I think this is also where we get that scene.
I could
with
see
Goku.
Goten gently tucking a wallet into the waistband of his underwear. Here you go, buddy.
And he gives him a little bow.
You'll need that. Of course,
yeah.
A little bow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your clothes.
I think this is the scene where Goku looks at Trunks and Goten
mm-hmm.
and goes,
yeah.
What a dumb outfit.
This is also
the outfit is what he judges.
Yeah.
Goku suddenly gets a fashion sense. He's also looking at the veiny boys
mm-hmm.
and is like, what's up with them? Have they not had breakfast yet?
Yeah, they seem upset.
What could possibly make them angry?
Not having
breakfast. Need some good complex carbohydrates, some proteins,
mm-hmm.
maybe some fruit.
Gohan's also very worried, are a little bit cautious about this unknown matchup
mm-hmm.
With Kibito.
Yeah, considering Piccolo's concern.
Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. Goku says, remember, a true warrior fights not just with the body, but with the mind. Said Goku.
Said Goku.
Mm-hmm. The psychic.
Pop on off with a bang.
Great, yeah. He's learned a lot out there in Otherworld, I guess.
Goten and Trunks hear the name Spopovich called several times, and they notice that no one is going up, so they assume that they are Spopovich.
It's me, Spopovich!
Spopovich!
I'm ready to draw now. Spopovich. Here I am.
I am here for the fight now.
I am an adult ready to punch other adults.
I
am
like
one
juice,
adult.
But the juice that grown-ups drink.
No beer for me, thank you. I will have a sports drink.
I appreciate the range of Laura Bailey doing a little boy's voice who is pretending to be a man.
Yeah,
it's very good.
I like to do grown-up things like smoking the cigarettes and cursing.
That's why Trunks is the head.
It turns out that their guy was a disguised superhero kind of guy who only goes by the name Mighty Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learn that the real Spopovich is that hulking dude with the M tattoo.
Yeah. Now, there are two hulking dudes, and this guy is the hulkinger.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not the brains of the outfit.
He gets indignant that they tried to steal his identity, even though he didn't come up the first seven times his name was called.
Right? He was sitting right there beside the announcer.
Listen,
I am Spopovich.
Sometimes the barista writes here, you think it's supposed to be Mighty Mask, but it's written as Spopovich. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I was Susan at my local Starbucks for a good long while.
The announcer man comments that Spopovich has apparently changed quite a bit since the last time he saw him.
Y'all remember the last time we saw him.
you traded your heron for some veins, I see.
Yeah.
Fidel is matched up against Spopovich in the first round.
That should be fine.
Yeah, she's fought bigger.
Krillin. Yeah, we've seen her fight bigger.
Krillin.
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 It's Krillin.
It's Krillin.
And he is matched up against one of the normie Street Fighter guys, a big Indian man named Pintar.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Who has
love that.
Wonderful. Wonderful, not at all offensive accent.
Sure, Yep. Vegeta is the best. I don't have to tell you that.
Oh, gosh. Vegeta's been the best. I didn't mention this whole episode so far. All of his background shots, he's had very fluffy hair. It looked very good.
He walks Carry up on. To pull his number, and he pulls number 12. And he doesn't show it to the people who need to write it down. He just turns around and shows it to Goku. Because it means that he's going to fight Goku first.
Yeah!
And he wants him to know. Gosh. He just poses, arm outstretched, with that ball with the little 12 on it.
Piccolo is so worried.
Not as he should be.
Them.
In the first round.
Yeah.
God.
This place is going to get blown up.
There won't be a second round because of them.
See, this is why you really need to seed your tournaments properly and maybe do like a double elimination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Piccolo gets matched up.
Maybe work in a loser's bracket so they have a chance to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Piccolo gets matched up against Shin, who is the short weirdo that we've seen with the mohawk.
Little Lavender.
Yeah. With the little creepy faces.
This is that quiet smirk.
18 gets matched against Mr. Satan. Mm-hmm. I really liked her interaction with the announcer.
Yeah.
He asks if her real name is number 18. And she says, like, my father was weird or something.
No, she said, my dad really lacked an imagination.
Oh, yeah. And then she...
Look at that. Now I'm number 7.
Yeah, she pulls her number out. Tosses it to him.
Just the most uninterested deadpan delivery.
I think she picked number 9, which means she has literally been gone down by half.
She's half the woman she used to be.
And Mighty Mask, quote unquote, is matched up against Killa.
Mm-hmm.
Killa.
It's Killa.
It's problematic.
Yeah, Killa's a real weird choice.
Like,
were they trying to go with like a Creole accent?
I don't know.
It's not even Creole though.
No, it's not. I feel because
Creole is words.
Yeah, I feel like it's meant to be an exaggerated version of that jive talk scene in Airplane.
Yeah,
that's the other thing I was thinking.
Like, God,
that scene. There's a really neat history with that scene. The actors. They let those actors be in charge of making it, and they like tried to like pull a Tolkien and like invent a whole like linguistics to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this isn't that.
No.
This is just nonsense.
It's just Boomhauer, but not funny.
Right.
not a great look.
Racially charged to boot, and it was redeemed by the excellent green pants that he's wearing.
No, his pants are excellent, but. I mean, he is also designed in a not so great way.
Did anybody check him in Japanese?
No, I didn't.
Because in Japanese, he just speaks.
Mm-hmm.
He just talks like a person.
And that's important because he gives expositionary dialogue.
Yes, that you're supposed to understand.
Like a lot.
Okay.
So this decision to make him talk nonsense actively hurts the show. Because you don't know what he's saying, and he's explaining things to you.
I even went back and flipped on the English subtitles, and it literally... Oh, what does it say? It literally says, like Killa says something incoherently.
Great.
Or, wow. Or something. It just says, like... Yeah, Killa talks incoherently is
great
what the
stuff.
actual captions say.
Like, all
which
of
is...
these things compound exponentially to make it suck exponentially.
It's bad.
Oy.
The other round that gets announced is the blonde-haired man named Jewel versus the other vascular tattooed guy named Yamu, but I don't care about them.
Yeah. This 17 knockoff.
Yamu?
We learned the rules for the tournament, which is you lose when you give up, if you fall to a 10 count, if you fall out of the ring, or are disqualified for killing your opponent.
Okay.
Which, as far as I know, has never actually happened.
No, I don't think so. Not that we've seen.
Crying is allowed, though.
Yeah, in this one. Mm-hmm. Each match is also time limited because there are so many of them this time. So they only get 30 minutes to compete, and if no result is reached in that amount of time, the judges will decide. And Krillin is up first.
Yeah!
Mm-hmm. Our boy Krillin.
Any other notes for 214?
I have a couple.
Yeah?
Let's see, I said the bit about Vegeta's hair being fluffy. Trunks also has very good hair. It's animated flowing very well. And
it runs in the family.
It does. It all runs in the family. Where's my notes? I need to cross out the things that I see.
This kid literally has all of the best genes in Dragon World.
Yes, it does.
In North Galaxy.
Oh, some very good interactions with the announcer. When talking to Spopovich, saying he's changed a bit, he asks, "Been drinking your milk there, bud?"
Oh yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Surely that's what's done it.
Got milk. Also, when asking about where Mr. Satan is, one of the monks says that he is a little incapacitated at this time. Which was a delicate way of putting it.
His face wrapped in bandages.
Yeah.
Which he recovers from his bandages very quickly when he hears who he's fighting. And that she's a blonde lady.
Ooh.
They pop right off his face. Finally, there was a moment when I had to ask, wait, what anime am I watching right now? Because Piccolo and Krillin have a conversation. Krillin starts praying that he not have to fight any of his friends, which is wild because they all came here together in a plane. They make up half of the contestants.
They are half the roster.
You are going to run into Goku eventually.
And Piccolo says, Krillin, destiny is something that you cannot... No, destiny is not something that you can control. Krillin says, hey, it never hurts to try. And it felt very much like I had just switched over to watching Yu-Gi-Oh! This is a very Yami Yugi and Jogi. Joey conversation.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Why is... someone saying destiny is not something you should try to control coming out of the mouth of someone who used to be someone who was in charge of the Dragon Balls? Destiny card.
I can tell you that it's probably because it's entirely different from the Japanese dialogue.
Ooh.
Oh.
Spill that tea.
Krillin is praying to God. And Piccolo walks up and reminds him that it's Dende. Like a guy that he knows.
Kami's inside me. You're one addressed towards the other guy.
Let me transfer your call.
Oh, gosh. That's good.
You know, I know the guy if you want me to, hook your ass up or something.
Episode 215, the English title is Forfeit of Piccolo.
The what? Japanese title... Japanese title roughly translates to "What's the matter, Piccolo?" An unheard of no fight forfeit. So they're both just
literally never happened.
It's inconceivable.
Mr. Satan is being interviewed about his expectations for the tournament. Not a lot of important information here, but I did want to call it out because it had a lot of fun little animation details.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very limited animation, but it gives him a lot of character, because every once in a while they'll just have his toe tap as he has it, like, across the, his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got one leg up and he's just tapping his foot, and I just thought that was a nice detail. Videl notices that Piccolo is looking pretty stressed out, which worries Gohan, too.
Yeah.
And even Goku notices, so that's something.
Goku notices, but then he gets bored with the tension once Shin Big Pink come in, and he goes back to stretching.
Chi-Chi and Bulma are bickering again, because Goku and Vegeta will be fighting first.
Oh, this is the best part of these three episodes.
Chi-Chi angrily eating a hot dog is good and important. Also behind her, there's a lady with just no shirt on.
Yeah?
And she's being, like, very quietly and stilly ogled by Roshi. Just in the background.
Oh, it's hot out.
I didn't even notice that.
It's like, right behind Chi-Chi's head. Wow. She's eating her hot dog.
Chi-Chi says, "I'll have you know, my Goku has never lost a fight."
Ooh.
To which Bulma responds, "Oh, so that's why he's wearing that halo?"
Ooh.
Which is fucking savage, Bulma.
That's brutal.
And Goku's lost fights before.
He did that so the planet you live on wouldn't explode, Bulma. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and Bulma, like, reminds Chi-Chi that Trunks beat Goten and, like, father like son.
Oh, wow.
It's a done deal.
Okay. Also, K-O. Goku definitely did lose a fight. You might remember episode 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't
now,
there.
Now, what would have been a fair statement is Goku's never lost a fight against Vegeta.
Yeah.
That is correct and functional.
They do come Yamcha together, though, for a common goal, which is dunking on Yamcha.
Because he is very awkwardly sipping on some orange beer?
Yeah.
I'll drink.
Yeah.
It's probably some more juice.
In between them. And
Aaron, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great juice stand here.
It's a fantastic juice bar.
Which
everybody loves it.
That's what I've heard, which I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But Yamcha, when Chi-Chi and Bulma start just shouting the names of their husbands at each other, Yamcha tries to separate them and says, "Isn't this all a little childish?" And thus the dunking begins.
They literally dunk him and just yell no.
Krillin begins his fight with Pintar, who is surprisingly agile for a man his size.
He's got the flips.
This guy's a regular tap car.
He is.
Except he doesn't tire himself out.
Pintar gives Krillin the first hit, and that is his
mistake. After being, like, an absolute bully to him.
Yeah, after being a total shithead.
Just, like, constantly bumping into him and, like, knocking around, quote, accidentally, and having his assistant order him a private hotel, a private room in the hospital.
Gosh. So rude.
Krillin gives this guy a gut punch, like, all the way through. He slaps the shit out of his face.
Just back and forth slaps.
Yes.
He's got a very calm expression.
It's just fucking comedic. Yeah. I love it.
He literally beats him with his eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like in the middle of a sigh. Slap, 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 punch, kick, done.
Kicks him out of the ring. I appreciate that the announcer is just as excited to watch Dragon Ball Z as we are.
Yeah.
I miss this guy.
He is so stoked to have the Z Warriors back in his ring.
Oh, yeah.
Possible destruction of the ring be damned. This is entertainment.
Piccolo and Shin are up next.
Before we go to them, I want to really quick cut to Erasa and Sharpener are in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And Erasa she's been waiting for this forever. She's so excited for Videl's match, and she's so nervous. And Sharpener has ditched his tux.
Yep.
He probably got some good juice at that juice stand, and it just, you know, healed whatever grumpiness he had. It's good juice.
He also refers to Erasa as Babe, so he has apparently ditched his crush on Videl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fucking quick turnaround, wasn't it?
Sure was. Also, Videl has a pet band.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Made
the
of cops.
The conductor is a cat.
And there was a guy sitting beside Sharpner and Arisa with a sign that said Bedell with a B.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a sign behind the pet band that said Bedell also.
Yeah.
That is just a quirk of the Japanese language.
Mm-hmm.
That B's and V's sound very similar, so they are interchangeable when they are romanizing the name.
You learn something new every day.
It just makes me wonder why they didn't see that ahead of time and make the change accordingly.
Yeah.
Like, well, either change the signs or make her name Bedell.
Because Bedell is the
it's
one
an
that...
an anagram of Debil.
Debil. Do you ever see that new anime, Debil Man Crybaby?
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 Yeah.
There we go. Debil Man Crybaby. Goten and Trunks are getting up to some juice antics.
Oh man, Goten demands
juice. It's a good
scene
too.
It's hard work being the back end of a cow costume, but it's probably even harder work being the bottom legs of a kid tower.
Yeah, Trunks has the very reasonable argument that it'll be suspicious if somebody sees his stomach drinking. But then Goten has the even more reasonable argument of, fuck you, it's hot down here.
I will throw you right off my shoulders.
It is thankful that nobody was watching them at the time.
Yeah.
Is it more suspicious than the eye holes?
The most suspicious part is where he just drops it.
Drops the can.
So good. That's very
between this man's legs.
Goten. Now he seemed like a good boy who would throw away his trash.
Yeah, why is he littering?
Yeah, Goten.
Well, he was also raised in the woods.
Chi-Chi would have raised him to revere and respect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably like Icarus. There's like a whole... like special episode we never even saw of like Icarus teaching Goten how to not set fires in the woods.
How to recycle.
Yeah. There's probably a thing where they're fighting a power plant that's polluting the stream where they get their fish.
Right.
Anyway.
All the lost public access episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Shin seems to already know who Piccolo is when they're walking into the ring together. Because he refers to him by his name.
His true name!
He doesn't
like
say
mage.
Ma Junior.
He has power over him now.
The announcer politely asks Piccolo to leave the ring intact this time.
Yeah.
Big guy, ha
ha ha. And I just love that he's not even, like, afraid of him.
Yeah.
Even though he was clearly evil last time.
Well, he's rolling with Goku's crew now.
Yeah.
Clearly everything's fine.
Thank you.
The Goku. Piccolo is really shook by Shin.
He is practically shitting his pants.
Yeah.
Shin is just standing there waiting for the fight to start, and Piccolo is shaking in his boots.
Some fans are remembering Piccolo from the Cell games, but not from past tournaments
the time
or when
that
he tried
blew
to
up
be
the tournament.
King of the Earth? Was that a thing that he
yeah,
tried
for
to
it,
do?
For Yeah, he made a day named Piccolo Day. Yeah? I don't know if they still celebrate it.
It's not nationally recognized.
Yeah, it's a regional holiday. Like Midsummer.
Piccolo says that he is, or thinks to himself, that he has sensed this energy before, but he doesn't know where from.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, this guy is just kind of looking back at Piccolo just being the absolute prince of just shitty kitty smirks.
God. It just gets, his grin gets shittier and shittier.
Just,
He's like, so sinister.
I explained this, I brought this up before. He looks like he's just been asked, a customer just asked to speak to his manager, but he is the manager.
Yeah.
And he's just ready.
Little do you know, this is the most ominous earring sparkles.
Let
I've
me
ever
speak
seen
to your supreme kite.
Your what now?
What's that?
Matt.
Oh, anyway,
never heard
Piccolo's
of that.
Like, Piccolo's like, oh wait, I do recognize this guy.
Yeah,
and I think it was like, him. I think that was the commie side of him. It had to be.
Probably.
I don't think Piccolo knows a goddamn thing about anything.
Yeah.
No.
He's met one Kai in his whole life.
And wasn't yeah, it's, very
and he did not respect him
one.
At all.
It's important to note that he thinks that to himself because Shin mm-hmm. verbally responds to the thought.
Oh yeah.
He
yeah.
does.
That would fuck anybody up.
He goes, "You'll know soon."
He says it twice.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Very spookily.
And this causes Piccolo to forfeit the match.
His
fuck that.
Cape
I would
blows
too.
Up due to sheer emotion.
I'm not fucking fighting a guy who could read my mind.
I'm out of here.
Well, I'm not fighting a psychic. Goku, get in there.
Yeah.
Shin knows that Piccolo, or something in Piccolo, used to be the Kami of this world. And he figures that's how Piccolo has an inkling of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for the third match already. Just chugging through these.
Ooh.
And this is Videl versus Spopovich.
Bird Studio Videl, bot is
Videl
in the audience.
Uh-huh.
Videl is referred to by the announcer as the city's daughter.
Nice.
I mean, she's their Superman and their Batman.
Yeah,
at
I mean,
the same
I get
time.
It.
And also Jimmy Olsen and Robin.
Yeah.
All four simultaneously.
Spopovich is sitting in a corner, sweating profusely and just seemingly seething with rage.
Mm-hmm. Just, it's
Gosh.
The steroids.
It's troubling.
He looks like he's just about, like his sinews are about to like rip themselves apart just by standing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his like veins are doing like a pulsating thing that just, no.
It's like that. It's
nauseating to think about.
It's like, what's that gross version, like the bad guy version of Stretch Armstrong? Do you remember that? Where
no.
you could like pump, where there was like an evil Stretch Armstrong with like, he was like some kind of an alien thing and you could use like an air pump on him and his skin would get this gross texture.
No thanks.
Oh no. I hate it. I'm gonna Google it after we're done. Because I need to know.
Killa goes to try and let Spopovich know that his name's been called, because apparently mm-hmm. this guy can't hear his fucking name.
Right?
He really can't.
Killa pats him on the shoulder and is electrocuted.
His hand is, like, burned.
Yeah.
He looks at it later, like, the wrappings on his fingers are burned through. Oh, no.
The other tattooed man, Yamu, is the one who actually gets Spopovich to get up and do his match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can touch him without being electrocuted.
He's got the opposite charge.
And Videl walks out to the ring telling Gohan that she'll be waiting for him in the second match. Pretty confident that she's got this one.
Yeah. Vegeta gives Gohan a look during this. Because I don't know why Vegeta is standing where he is. He can only barely see over the sign.
Right, he looks like the guy from fucking Home Improvement.
Yeah, they do several shots where it's just his eyes over the
darting
over
around
the board. Yeah,
but yeah, it's Videl is clearly flirting with Gohan. Gohan doesn't pick up on it. I think Vegeta picks up on it.
He knows by now.
He knows. He's recognizes this from Bulma.
My last note for this episode is that there is definitely something going on between the two sets of weirdos.
Oh, I got so worried mm-hmm. for Videl because, yeah, as Shin is leaving the ring, he passes Spopovich mm-hmm. and looks back and, like, it does
it
this
just
weird
stop
cutaway
looking.
Thing where, it's, oh no, if Piccolo is shitting his pants about Shin and Shin is worried about Spopovich,
Videl might be in for a bad time.
But, yeah. Yeah, I'm concerned.
Any other notes for 215?
There was a shot at the end where like they put like a little square frame around Shin and then put that frame in over Spopovich's mouth.
Yeah.
Where it just looked like his mouth was now a square. I really liked that shot.
And there's a little man in it.
Yeah.
Episode 216, the English title is A Dark and Secret Power.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Undyingly Unpleasant?
Okay.
The Mystery of Spopovich.
It's a question?
Yeah.
The answer's yes. It is. It is unpleasant.
Yeah. Boy. Boy, oh boy. Boy, howdy.
Videl has legions of fans cheering for her in the stands, including her band made of every cop in the city.
They have a cheer. So perfect. And later on, they sing. The narrator refers to Videl as Gohan's feisty girlfriend.
Which,
hang on. I mean, if the narrator's Gohan from the future, then he has future knowledge.
Future Gohan has figured out that she was flirting.
Present Gohan does not realize that at all.
No.
Piccolo confronts Shin about his identity because he's come up with a guess.
Hmm.
Are you the Grand Kai?
What do you think, baby?
I got my boombox.
See, this is silly to us because we know who the fuck the Grand Kai is, and it ain't this guy.
He is not one to shit your pants over.
No.
Shin is actually the Supreme Kai.
What?
Ah.
Which sounds more important.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's a step up the ladder from Grand.
What does that make the pink guy?
His friend.
Uh-huh.
My plus one.
His other.
Yeah, his plus one to the tournament.
The Supreme Kai, or as they say in Europe, a royale with key.
Shin and Kibito want Piccolo to keep this information to himself for the time being. They don't want Goku or the others to know just yet that the Supreme Kai is on Earth.
I don't want it to be let out that I'm, like, CEO of heaven.
Right.
CEO of the universe.
This is a weird episode of Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
At first, I was, like, confused that Piccolo didn't recognize him as the Supreme Kai, because I was like, well, why wouldn't Kami have ever seen him? And then they cut to King Kai, who was also equally surprised.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I guess I've never seen the guy who owns my job.
Yeah,
King Kai has never seen the Supreme Kai. He knows that there is one, but he's never seen the person. Videl is the first on the offensive, and Spopovich is just left standing and blocking all of her attacks. She manages to knock him down, but not long enough for a count to start.
She's doing some good fighting. She's doing some good moves.
Mm-hmm. She's got some good footsies.
Cool kicks. Yeah. not doing any unsafe on block moves.
Mm-hmm. Not jumping in.
Yeah, not mashing. Everything's very plus.
She's doing some proper hit confirms.
Killa and Jewel. Do you get it?
No.
Their names together is Killa Jewel.
Duh.
Oh.
I feel like I knew this and then forgot it. I thought Killa was just a way to say
like
killer.
No.
Okay.
Cool.
Their names together make a pun.
Okay, what is Pintar, though?
I don't know. Pintar. It's probably a food.
The wiki has failed me. Nothing for Pintar.
No trivia?
But his Japanese name is Punta.
Puntar.
Maybe punter? Like a football punt?
I don't know.
Oh, like...
Who knows?
Like he's gonna... punt Krillin like a football, but Krillin punts him? I don't know.
Anyway, Killa and Jewel are pondering over how different Spopovich appears from the last time he was in the tournament. The same thing that the announcer said.
Uh-huh. And then we get like a sitcom-style flash of what he used to look like.
Uh-huh.
Where he like turns to face the camera and smiles.
And has just such nice hair, such a nice
beautiful
smile.
Beautiful locks on that Spopovich.
Sometimes the world is perfect. Nothing to rearrange.
Gosh. I keep wanting to say Ghostface Killer, but this is not a Wu-Tang reference at all. Is this when he does his
it'd be a lot better
expository dialogue that we don't get?
Yes, I think so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, where he says a lot of words that you just can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say, Tyler? What crucial information does he impart?
Basically everything that I just said.
Oh, got it.
That it's like, we saw him at the last tournament and he was really different, and now he looks like this, and that's weird.
Oh.
That's fucked up enough.
That's not an exact quote, but that is the essence of what he's saying.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The cliff notes.
Yeah. the killer notes.
Thank you.
Spopovich goes down again, and he just keeps getting back up.
But
Videl, he's tub thumping,
keeps tossing him right over her shoulder. There's a really good throw she does.
Yeah.
Oh, the monkey flip?
And she like, grabs him and does... It's not a subic, but she just like goes backwards and tosses him.
Yeah, that's a monkey flip.
A monkey flip.
I want to say that's
I always get hyped for those.
That she's like her DBFZ move set is very like she's got a lot of grapples.
It is taken almost entirely from this fight.
Yeah, more or less.
Because that's kind of all she gets, really. Mm.
Spoilers. Mm. He goes down again, but he keeps getting up. He is seemingly unfazed by any damage that she's doing.
You're never going to keep him down.
Right, he's tub thumping.
Mm-hmm.
Just pissing the night away.
Videl is losing stamina fast, though, and is breathing heavier every time that she knocks him down.
She's at a meter.
Yeah.
He can't even do
every time he gets up, he also has just an unchanging scowl on his face.
Yeah,
he's definitely there's also a shot that makes it look like he's foaming from the gums.
He is foaming at the mouth, yeah.
At one point, he's bleeding and his blood is purple.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That ain't a normal blood. That's not, no. that's not how blood do.
Not for humans.
Not for Piccolos and for Cells and Freezes.
And Freezes.
Probably some Ginyus.
Yeah, but they're... Well, Piccolo's here, but he's not fighting right now. Vegeta is concerned.
That's villain blood right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goku is also concerned. They don't need words to communicate their concern to each other.
Yeah, they just give a knowing glance at one another.
And, like, Goku nods, and Vegeta just continues glaring concernedly at the fight.
Videl decides it's time to end the fight, and she rushes in. She goes plus ultra.
She gets the theme song.
Goes beyond.
She does so good.
She pummels Spopovich with some particularly fierce attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down, and this time when he stands up, he has a smile on his face.
Oh no.
Yeah, very unsettling.
Matt, do you think that this is at all a reference to The Undertaker?
I can see that.
The way
I
that
see
he
that really well. Yeah.
The way that he sits up made me think of it.
Yeah. Where he just sits up all just sits up straight.
Yeah.
He does do that.
And he is an undying man. So as we shall soon see.
This is true.
Goku
I would have assumed he's more of a Andre the Giant reference because of the singlet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Goku says that Videl should forfeit the match because there is something not right about Spopovich.
He says this in such a weird way for Goku. He says that there's no way Spopovich should be able to keep fighting after all the damage he's taken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of damage calibration? Like, Goku, maybe he's just strong. You could take those kicks.
No. It must be something strange and wrong and bad.
Maybe he's
I think
like,
he means, like, for his power level.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be able to take that amount of damage.
Because the power he has is different.
Spopovich finally goes on the offensive, and he backhands Videl across the ring.
Oof. That's just not a nice move.
No.
I mean, like, it's, yeah. It's, what's the word I'm looking for? Not dishonorable. Not
disrespectful.
Yes, disrespect, yeah. Like a punch or a kick. It's like, yeah, we're fighting, we're punching each other.
A slap is what you that takes you to a dueling green.
Well, if that's with the gloves, you slap somebody with your gloves.
He gives her another kick, and this one sends her flying out of the ring.
She almost lands on the ground. Mm-hmm. But
wait
a second, everybody's like,
but she does have that cool new trick.
She flies.
Gohan taught her that.
Mm-hmm.
She flew.
She manages to fly before she touches the ground. And she just heads right back into the ring.
Oh, this like cements her as a very good fighter in my head. Because so what I half expected to happen with her is she just got these cool new ki powers of flying and being able to draw energy out of her body a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I was half expecting her to be like, yeah, I'm gonna use my new superpowers to fight. But she doesn't. She only like uses them when she really needs them. And that's really smart and good and cool, just like her.
I also love how much the crowd, like, pops for her whenever she starts floating.
Uh-huh. Yes. Goku thinks that it would have been better if she let herself fall, though.
Yeah.
Hercule hears that Videl is losing to Spobovich and refuses to believe it because he fucking trounced that guy in the last tournament. What a ridiculous thing to say.
Satan's like, I think I know my own daughter.
And he sets his wine glass down because he's following up his cigarette. This is a wild scene
transition, yeah.
This was like so ominous because he sets it down and it falls off the table and it breaks and it like it cuts to Videl, but we still see the glass breaking. Mm-hmm. Oh no, something very bad is going to happen to her. I'm so worried.
What?
He thinks that his daughter's just amping up the crowd. Because that's what he would do.
Clearly a hype
classic
move.
Classic showmanship.
Yeah, she's just making it more exciting. Videl gives Spobovich one last devastating kick to the head.
Boy, does she.
Oof.
She gives her...
That is a kick.
Gives it everything she's got.
That's a real head turner.
Oh! Why is that, Matthew?
I'll see myself out.
Why is that a head turner exactly? Could you elaborate?
She
could you
kicks
oh because
head
because
completely around to face mm-hmm. backwards.
Kicks that shit Xbox 360. No bones, no scope, all the way around his whole fucking neck.
She breaks Popovich's neck and his head is 180 degrees backwards.
It like a half exorcist, really.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. Well, and we'll get the other half in a minute here.
He falls to the ground dead, because of course he would.
Yeah.
And
so I want to take this moment. Mm-hmm. I want to take this moment to give a shout out to Yamcha.
Yeah.
Because he reflexively
for his reflexes.
He reflexively covers young Marin's eyes.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because hey. That's good. You don't want to expose anyone to that, especially someone at like an impressionable age.
Yeah, live murder isn't something
not
a
great.
Child should be watching.
That's when you pull the kids like, let's go find where the pretzels are.
Hey, I hear there's a juice stand.
I've heard there's great nachos at the concession
over
stand.
Over here. At the same time, also, he kind of acted as this mediator earlier when Chi-Chi and Bulma were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also not taking, he's not participating in this tournament, even though, like, I mean, kind of like Krillin, like, he would have a pretty easy time with a good chunk of the normies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
He's just choosing not to, and I think, I want Yamcha to just kind of grow into a more chill character as time goes. I want him to kind of just be the like friend who's willing to go on like a late night Target run if we're out of toilet paper and it is an emergency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does this happen in Super? Does he level out into just kind of like a chill dude?
A responsible adult.
He plays baseball again.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't see him as much beyond this saga. But that is basically the role he plays.
Yeah, he just shows up for some slapstick every once in a while.
I'm very okay with that. That's a good place for Yamcha to be.
No hands getting punched through him anymore.
No, he realized one is enough.
I'm done.
So when he puts his hand over Marin's face so that she doesn't see this man die in front of her, do you want to know what I was thinking of?
What?
What?
Honor his bravery!
Oh, golly.
Fuck off.
Witness.
Don't turn away.
Oh, gosh. I hope Chelsea's
this unfortunately
doing okay.
Disqualifies Videl from the tournament because she did kill her opponent.
Gosh.
Did do a murder.
She.
Yeah.
This.
And probably just broke her spirit.
I mean, yeah, she. This is an appropriate use of the anime despair posture of yelling on the ground.
Because,
she did not expect to kill a man today.
We are probably operating under the assumption that she uses Batman rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a crime fighter. She's here to keep the city safe.
She has probably never killed before.
I mean, yeah. Probably not this teenager.
It's a fair assumption to make.
This martial arts teen? Probably not.
I mean, she fights a lot of criminals who are shooting guns at her.
Yeah. But she's a very, like, skilled martial artist, and she knows how to control her stuff.
Exactly.
She knows how to knock a motherfucker out.
But the problem is, if you knock a motherfucker out with ki, and you're not expecting it, you know, things get twisty.
She would have been disqualified, except that Spopovich stands himself back up again.
Mm. Yep. Sure does.
Yeah.
His neck is...
And then what happens?
Even worse to look at.
Yeah, it's worse coming back around.
It's
yeah, give us
once again,
play-by-play on
this
one.
It's an evil Stretch Armstrong.
As I wrote in my notes, yuck, yuck, yucky, yuck.
Yeah, he begins to snap his head back into place, slowly spinning it around until he does like one last maneuver with just some disgusting amounts of elasticity.
Oh gosh.
You ever like see a show where they try to show like how badass the hero is by like popping his shoulder back in or fixing his broken nose with a and there's bad sound foley to go with it. That's this, but worse. It's got a lot of sounds.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of choices.
Got those rubber bone sounds that we're so familiar with at this point.
This man ate a devil fruit.
Sure. What? Gumu gumu, no, thank you.
Necks don't stretch like that.
Nope.
Not in my neck of the woods.
So the fight continues, because he's fine apparently. And he kicks Videl back in the face.
Yeah.
And he cracks her nose.
Yeah.
She loses focus, understandably.
Uh-huh.
Because she thought she killed a man, and then he did that in front of her.
Uh-huh. Videl takes to the sky to avoid her opponent and buy herself a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to process what just happened.
Right.
She's got a big old bloody nose.
She just needs a breather.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately...
That nose is definitely broken.
Oh, yes.
It's bad.
Unfortunately, Spopovich reveals that he can fly too.
He just
whoops.
Learns to redirect his rage upward.
Pushes his angry out of his feet.
Yeah.
And he lunges right at her.
I mean, we did get a hint of this before because Yamu was floating at some of the parts.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I didn't catch that either.
Yeah, he's just kind of like floating, watching the scene quietly.
Like, not with the other people, like he's
in
a part where there's nobody else.
Something weird is going on with these guys.
A dark and secret power, perhaps?
A dark and secret power.
I thought for sure this episode we would learn what that dark and secret power is.
We just know that it is, in fact, undying.
You know that they have
pleasant.
One.
It's, yeah.
Any other notes for 216?
I just gotta say about Spopovich, fun to say, unpleasant to look at.
Very fun to say.
Overall, as unpleasant as he is to like look at and think about and listen to, I'm glad that he is here. I'm glad he's here in this show because he is, what did I say in my notes? He is the sweaty, grunting embodiment of what I thought this show was before I started watching it.
That's amazing. He's finally arrived.
He's finally arrived, and I don't know, it's a fun contrast to get to see. Like, sometimes you think something is scary and yucky, and then it turns out to be great. And then you get to put the scary yuckiness next to what's really there and good, and see how much more fun it is.
Before we continue on, I do want to give a very minor content warning for next week. For listeners and recorders who have not watched the show before, next week we're going to kick off with an episode that has a level of violence that the show rarely goes to,
right?
And also lingers upon.
Oh,
is this like
it far exceeds Rikume versus Gohan?
Really?
In my opinion,
that was the watermark for me for a while.
Yeah, it's around there, I'd say.
Okay.
And it lingers on it for longer than it probably should to make its point. So just be aware of that going in.
You know, normally when the animators in the show need to fill time, they go to, like, a fun flashback or maybe see what's happening in, with the Kais, what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just so we know, going forward.
The comparison that I made before we started recording is that it is Gohan being hugged by Cell for a whole episode.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm. Don't like that.
That is the level of discomfort, I'd say.
That's some some intimate discomfort.
Yes.
Yeah. There's also there's a lot of, I would call them, Goku character assassination videos out there.
Uh-huh.
And two moments they love to use is the one, Goku sending Gohan to fight Cell.
Sure.
And the other is what's going to happen next episode.
Oh, no.
Hmm.
I thought I had an idea what was about to happen, and now I don't.
Just prepare to be mad at Goku.
Well, okay.
I'll try as to well. Get into that headspace.
Yeah. I don't think you'll have a trouble getting there.
I personally am more upset at just the concept of the episode, but we can get into that next week.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, let's talk about Marin.
Let's turn our gaze to sunnier shores and brighter skies.
South Galaxy. I've thought about this. There are two things that I really want to flesh out in order for us to understand Marin's journey. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys can help me. One, we know Marin and some of her closest hunkos have stolen a galactic space patrol cruiser. Because they're fast. Because it takes a long time to get from one galaxy to another when you don't have instant transportation.
Presumably, yeah.
Presumably. Yeah. So, one, I want to know who these chosen hunkos are. Two, you know, to any good hero, we need to really understand a villain. I want to know more about the rumor hegemony. And what, what's going on with that? What form does their domineering evil take? How are they spreading through South Galaxy?
My internal, my mental image is just of, a hospital level of sterile.
Mm-hmm.
No creativity.
Yeah.
No fun, no silliness.
A lot of gray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of bland.
Yeah. And I also want to really flesh out this galaxy, because we did just kind of hang that Christmas ornament and say, it's the horny galaxy.
Based on the few fighters that we saw in the Otherworld tournament.
And I want to add some nuance to that.
Okay.
I think we're a show about nuance. See,
yeah. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say that this is a galaxy populated by people, by alien creatures who are not, they're horny on main, but not in a way that is, outwardly sexual. Like, it's kind of like, you remember from Bardock, that one Saiyan who kept joking about being... About
stinky feet.
About Frieza's stinky feet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, it's a whole galaxy of people going like, oh, I'm inflating. This is embarrassing for me. And it's
only a select few, really uncover the secrets of the horny arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just really, really innocuous, fan art, but, with, highly detailed, rendered teeth and gums for no reason. But we know the reason. It's not... So what we're saying is
saying it's DeviantArt with a content filter.
Thank you, yes.
God.
It is. it truly is 100 DeviantArt nightmares.
And so Rumor is trying to just make an even more of a content filter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's going to do to South Galaxy what he did to Tumblr.
Yeah, he's going to say... Gonna pull a Tumblr on an entire galactic scale.
No.
Your post has been flagged.
Gosh.
Does South Kai care?
Yes.
Like, is it the same...
Yeah, he wants to preserve...
Is it the same level of non-aggression that King Kai shows towards Frieza? Like, yeah. Hey, don't fuck with that guy.
Yeah, effectively. It's
like, I know that he's tearing up my galaxy, but I don't want to do anything about it.
But, I mean, shit, damn.
King Kai... I mean, not King Kai. Oh my gosh, I'm so ashamed. South Kai probably cares, but, like, is, you know, much in the way that somebody... You know, might with their deviant art nightmares, care but be ashamed to admit they care, and still remain silent. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. I guess
he's in incognito mode.
Yeah, yeah, yep. But I don't know. There's probably a resistance brewing.
Some freedom fighters.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have a suggestion on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't think Aaron will know who I'm talking about, but you guys have seen the first Broly movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that takes place in South Galaxy?
No.
Oh, I forgot.
Does it?
Yes.
Well, how did he get all what the about way those, down there?
I really liked the design of the slave race that they had.
Oh, yeah, we got like these little aliens.
We got to see some of them in the other world,
oh,
too.
Oh, were they like the little bird people that were kicking each other?
Chicken, yeah,
the red and the blue one?
Yeah.
Can we make them the resistance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, can Caterpie come back?
The Shamoian.
Is that what the wiki says?
Gesundheit. Yeah.
What food are they?
Shamoians.
They don't have any, they're the Shamo Sajin. I don't know what that would mean. I don't know what Shamo is.
Maybe it's a ShamWow.
I don't know. That's at least I feel like that's a decade prior.
Probably.
Time shenanigans. So
average height, roughly 3 to 4 feet. Diet, omnivorous. Sapience level. Sapient.
Sapience level, yes.
Power level. Power.
Power level. Has one.
Powerful.
So there are horny on main freedom fighters.
Yeah, who are truly they are horny on main, and they know it. They clap their hands.
I have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
What would Marin's first encounter be? Like, how is it revealed to her?
So, they gotta refuel. Right. Their space patrol capsule, and so they go, like, to a space gas station, and it's in, like, a space western town. And it's dusty and like abandoned, and like there's something that clearly used to be a cabaret, but it's all boarded up.
It's like that place that Gohan went to get supplies.
Yes, and there's like a saloon kind of thing, saloon slash cantina, and but also so Marin and her hunkos come in. The space capsule is refueling, and we know that takes a long time thanks to Dr. Briefs. So they're like, well, let's just go to the bar, see what intergalactic hotties are around. And so they're in this like establishment where everyone is just drinking LaCroix. Watered down LaCroix. Not even true LaCroix. Watered down LaCroix.
Oof.
And they're like trying to hit on people or be like, so, where are you from? You're cute. I like your dress. I don't know how people hit on people, but they're doing it in a good and cool way, but people are like looking at them the way that the grizzly cowboys do in saloons when somebody comes in and orders milk.
My friend doesn't like you.
It's precisely.
I don't like you either.
Except it's... I think my friend likes you. I like you also, but then the person, like, behind
I think my friend likes you, and I like you quite a bit, too.
But the person behind the bar, like, slams cups down, like, we don't tolerate talk like that around here. And then some Roomber, like, y'all need to keep it down, or the Roomber guards are gonna come and hush you up good. And then, speak of the devil, the Roomber guard troopers, come in and round up anybody who looks too horny. which is all of them, because it's a saloon.
So they've got
and they're not wearing suits.
They got the same programming as like the Tumblr flagging algorithm.
Gosh.
Where just like a picture that's vaguely flesh tone enough will set it off.
They're keeping an eye out for forward facing nipples.
Or like, you're, you know, if more than
you
one
there,
button
you're
is
wearing
undone,
clothes.
You're wearing too flashy of a print. You're just anything. Your hair is not a boring bowl cut. You've got a little too much party in the back. Like a mullet.
Can Marin just bust in through the saloon doors and shout like, "Hey cuties!"
Yes, that is what she does.
To like the whole bar.
That's what she does.
We're in like a straight up Dixie Duke outfit.
Yes.
Or Daisy Duke.
Yes,
I mean.
yes, 100%. Yes.
Why don't I just want her to bust in just saying, "What's up, motherfuckers?"
She can do that too. She's got thunder powers. So yeah, I'm curious, what do you think the Roomba Troopers look like? Are they like droids? Are they like different alien species? Do we have a Berry Boy equivalent?
Just a Roomba with a knife taped to it.
Back to the Shimoians, like, uh-huh. What they always wear is like these like burlap sack looking things,
uh-huh,
with like bandages on their arms and legs.
Yeah,
what if that's like their version of the Frieza Force armor?
Ooh,
it's the like to get rid of all sex appeal.
Yeah,
just fucking
ooh,
a burlap
like
sack.
It.
It's
very
burlap sacks
no,
on everybody.
No curves, no figure, no silhouette.
Yeah, it's very like
that's like their subjugation uniform.
Yeah. Ooh, I hate it, which means I love it. That's when you're making a good villain, you gotta hate them, mm-hmm, and that genuinely sucks. And so, good job.
Literally, thanks, I hate it.
Right, sincerely.
My second question was going to be: do you guys think that Gooseberry is loyal to Frieza, or is he willing to flip?
Ooh,
I don't know. He needs to see. He needs to see he has yet to flip. He needs to see a hopeful future of a galaxy that knows how to fucking party.
Wait, to Frieza or to Roomba?
Well, Gooseberry worked for Frieza.
Yeah.
And they came to the South Galaxy looking for the Ginyu Force.
Oh, right.
But
about
does
that.
Gooseberry just crave a leader above him, no matter the cost?
Ooh, probably. I mean, probably, yeah, he gets...
He just needs a daddy.
He gets like
from space
lost.
Found his cake.
He needs someone to lead him.
Been great here.
He falls in with this with the Roomba crowd, but it's just not right. He needs Marin to rescue him.
And I also kind of want to take a detour back to Earth.
Let's
please.
You guys remember Rap and Scallion?
Vaguely.
Wait, which one of those again?
The two.
Yeah, refresh.
I remember
me.
They exist.
Yeah, Matt. I don't think that you have been introduced yet. But okay. Rap, we named Rap and Scallion the two boys that Sharpner hires to get Great Saiyaman's identity.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. These little Konan and Agawas.
Mm-hmm. I want to put them on each other's shoulders, but for something entirely different than what Trunks and Goten are doing.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm on board.
I just want two kids in trench coats.
What do they have instead of a trench coat?
Can
it be an actual... Can it be the tux that Sharpner
Yeah, I was
going
to say, can they put on Sharpner's tux after he ditches it?
What is their mission? What are they trying to Muppet Man themselves into?
That's what I need help deciding.
A date.
They want...
With a woman.
They're just... Oh, they met the woman in the bushes.
God.
The shy woman in the bushes.
They've got...
there actually was somebody there.
I'm still infatuated with kid idiots who are trying to figure out what people in the adult world do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I've heard
of these adults who go into what is called a vape shop. And they won't let me in, but now I want to go in and I want to see all the cool things that are in it.
I've heard that there's a great juice bar here. Let's take a lady to it.
I heard there was a lady in these bushes who will arm wrestle me.
That sounds like a perfect date. The most pleasurable thing.
Jason.
Yeah?
Let's transition now to a 4-star reading.
Mm. The stars have spoken and they have given me a sign. Ooh. What we like to do at the end of each episode is we like to pick one of our Dragon Ball Z characters and read a horoscope for them based off of their canonical birthday or perhaps their manga debut date if they don't have a canonical birthday. But we're in luck because the character this week, in fact, does have a canonical birthday. I don't think we've read anything about him before. He's this guy called Majunior?
Okay.
At least that's what I have in my notes. But it's weird because he does have the exact same birthday as Piccolo, which is May 8th.
Hmm.
Yeah. Huh. So that would make Majunior, in fact, a Taurus.
Aww.
I'm sure he'll be like an interesting character down the road.
I bet he'd probably get along with Gohan.
Yeah. You know, they do have the same sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Videl as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, May 9th. My apologies.
Dodge. Piccolo so- Day.
Piccolo Day, I hereby decree. Well, no, it's Majunior Day right now.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly. So, Majunior, here is your reading. Try to take a more distant approach to some problems you're having right now. While it may seem counterintuitive to remove emotions from your thinking, you'll understand the wisdom of this soon. And talking to new people will start to get a lot easier. When you see your life for what it is, rather than for what it is not, you start to see things you've never noticed before. It's time to be clear and make it known what you want.
Well, all right.
Go for it, Majunior.
Yeah. Go for it, Majunior.
Mm-hmm. And try not to blow up the ring on the way.
I never noticed there was a god of the universe just sitting right there. That's weird.
Take a distant approach to solving your problems by walking away from them. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes in for the show every week. Matt.
Yeah.
Where can the friends find you on the internet?
Well, if you're looking, you can find me on Define Prague, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Instagram, on SoundCloud, on YouTube. And hey, you know what? I went ahead and joined TikTok, so I'm on that too.
Oh,
Live
congratulations.
Journal, LinkedIn, Travelocity.
You can give me $200 and I'll give you a private snap.
Aaron, how about you?
Well, I don't do any of those cool kid websites like the trendy youths are doing. But if you happen to be in or around the real-world location of Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I perform with a group on Thursday nights.
And Jason.
Yo, well, you can pretty much just find me on Twitter and on Instagram and on Twitch.tv, and the name for all three is JCavs. That's JAYCALVES.
Destructo Discourse is on Twitter, at Destructo_Disc. We have a pinned tweet there that is an invitation to join our fan Discord server. We also accept emails to destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And do me a favor and give this show a rating and a review on your podcast service of choice. And make it a 4-star rating. Because this is a Gohan town.
I don't know who that is.
We're all about Gohan here at Destructo Discourse.
I know about Majunior. I know about the great Saiyan man.
We love Gohan so much that we named our show after one of his attacks.
Wait.
Gohan's famed Destructo Discourse.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where he just talks really well.
Gohan's Destructo Dissertation.
Man, now I'm wondering what, like, his dissertation would be.
Where he just tear down society as a whole.
Listen, Satan is lying to you. Anyway, give us the Gohan.
Please.
Give us the Gohan.
You're listening to Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up.
Never turns to day. Don't you be afraid, he'll fly away. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth. But then it was a magic surprise. Oh. Chala, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the night. Surprise!